Tired of having teachers snatch your precious iPod and mobile phone? Then welcome to iHistory, where the stories of yesterday and the technology of today come together. Victoria Hill really should be called Victoria Hills. At first glance, that's all it looks like. Hills. Hills and hills of crushed up rock. The leftovers from the hurly-burly days of open cut and shaft mining. But when you look a little closer, you can see the evidence of both open cut and shaft mining. Poppet heads, battery crushers, miners' cages, they're all here. Be careful not to slide into one of the tunnels that dot the hill. The mines here on the New Chum Reef gave up an immense amount of gold and made people like George Lansell, Christopher Ballastep, and William Ray rich. But it also came at a cost. One of these costs was environmental. Although there has been some regrowth, Victoria Hill will never have a forest of ironbark trees again. They were cut down to support tunnels and to burn for the steam engines that pulled cages of rock up from the ground. Another cost was the health of the miners. Tuberculosis, or TB, was common, as was phthisis, or miners' complaint. Both of these were caused by the lack of fresh air down the shaft, combined with the quartz dust that made its way down every miner's throat. The rate of fatalities and sickness from mining was high in Bendigo, compared to other mining locations. The upside was that a town was born, bringing people from all over the world to seek their fortune, from Germany, England, America, France, Sweden, and many others. One of these was Christopher Ballastet. Pause the recording and go to Ballastet's cutting. Johann Gottfried Tobias Christopher Ballastet fought at the Battle of Waterloo before coming to Australia with his son Theodore. He was only the most successful of a whole crowd of Germans who came and settled in Bendigo. Street names like Ballastet's Lane, Hines Street and Varlen Street are reminders of their presence. Ballastet bought his claim in 1854 from an African-American called Dido Weymouth, who obviously lucked out because Ballastet made a mint here. After Ballastet died, his son Theodore sold the claim to George Lansell for £30,000. Before Theodore could get back to Germany, Lansell had made a £180,000 profit on the claim. Ballastet's cutting is important because up until then, scientists had thought that the deeper into the ground you went, the less gold there would be. Ballastet proved them spectacularly wrong, and his initiative sparked up a frenzy of shaft sinking, resulting in some of the deepest mines in the world. One of those was the Victoria Quartz Company. Pause the recording and climb to the top of the Poppet Head. The Poppet Head that you are standing on has been at Kosh's Pioneer Mine and has also stood at Mount Buninyong as a fire lookout. It is the fourth Poppet Head to stand on this shaft. The Victoria Quartz Company was formed because a few mining companies merged together. It was very expensive to run a mine like this, mainly because of the cost of pumping water out from the shaft. In fact, to this day, there are heaps of mining machines drowned below the surface of this mine. It just became too expensive to get the water out. The cage that you see at the bottom was used to transport water out of the shaft. But before that happened, 48,000 ounces of gold had been taken from this mine, and at one stage it was the deepest in the world at a massive 1,406 metres. It must have been extremely claustrophobic, working at more than a kilometre below the ground, hammering out rock with a steam-driven diamond drill, breathing in quartz dust, and then making the long journey back up to the surface. Pause the recording and walk to Ray's Bonacord Mine. William Ray was an example of a mining investor. Like George Lansell, who lived in and cared about his community, Ray set up a school, was a passionate supporter of the art gallery, and was always helping miners who were down on their luck. He even lived a stone's throw from his own mine. If you look towards Eaglehawk from the top of the Poppet Head, then turn left a little, you can see his house about 200 metres away. Ray's open cut gives us an opportunity to see an important geographical feature. Most of the way around Ray's open cut line, the rock is on the same diagonal angle, and then suddenly, about halfway down the tram track path, it changes to the opposite diagonal angle. See if you can find this place. On the tramway, the path you were walking on was the tramway, and it led down to a battery crusher, which is no longer there. Ray also treated the quartz to make it softer before crushing it. He did this by roasting it, a process known as calcining. Pause the podcast here. Keep making your way around the path, completing the tasks for Advance at Advantage Mine, then restart the podcast once you get to the battery crusher. Without the technology of the battery crusher, there would have been no use hauling all the rock to the surface. The crusher broke down the rock to dust, releasing the gold from its quartz prison. The battery crusher was a huge improvement on using stone wheels driven by horses. However, it took an immense amount of energy to get the gold out. Steam engines needed wood to burn to power them, and then tons of quartz needed to be crushed. To be successful, a crusher needed to produce just 0.5 ounce of gold per ton of rock crushed. When you think that the Victoria Quartz Company alone produced 48,000 ounces, then that's an awful lot of rock. That's all for now. You have a list of evidence that you need to be gathering. Get to it.